Welcome to another message from the teaching team here at Fellowship Forney. For more information about our church, service times, and location, visit us online at fellowshipforney.org. Here's Pastor Jared with today's message.
1 John chapter 1 is where we're going to start off this morning, and then we're going to bounce kind of all over Scripture. We've been approaching these questions that were asked just a couple of months ago by our church as we said, hey, are there any questions you have, any things that you may be struggling with spiritually? What are the top three things, if you could hear a message about them, that you would want to hear about? And without a doubt, one of those top answers was on the topic of forgiveness. I think all of us understand that we have a responsibility as followers of Jesus to be forgivers, but to actually be that, to understand how to do it and to get over things that people have done to us, that's a little bit of a different story. So this morning is going to be a little bit different. What I want to do is just kind of lay a case in front of you. I don't even want to try to convince you. I think it's very obvious what Scripture calls us to do and who it calls us to be. All throughout the Old and the New Testament, what I want to do is just lay the facts in front of you and then ask you, hey, are we going to do what God has called us to do, or are we just going to keep doing the things that we've been doing? And so 1 John chapter 1, it's going to take me a little bit of time to get there. I want to start with this question, which is, how do I forgive myself? As we were working through these, this was kind of one of the top questions on forgiveness. When it comes to not just forgiving others, I think it's really important that first and foremost, we kind of work through what it looks like in our own lives, not just to believe, but also to overcome things. Now, I love what my dad said last Sunday. Like, I can't help but imagine all of the people that were writing this question down. Within our church, we have people from all walks of life and all backgrounds. Some of you come from what you would consider a more rough or difficult background than others. Some of you are even struggling today with things that you just can't seem to knock and get over. And if we're not careful, one of the enemy's greatest weapons that he uses against us, I believe, comes in three different forms. It comes in doubt, and insecurity, and fear. If the enemy can make you feel any of those three things spiritually, what you will find is he can paralyze you from being effective as a follower of Jesus. If you're struggling today to get over something that you've done in your past, the enemy can consume your thoughts so much with whatever that may have been that he'll prevent you from moving forward and maturing as a follower of Jesus. And what he'll prevent you from doing is what we'll talk about in just a few minutes, which is being a forgiver of others. Because if I'm struggling in my own life to believe that God can, or trust that God will, or even myself walk away from it, I cannot be the person that God has called and throughout Scripture created me to be. I would put it like this. If I've run out of money, I might come to one of you and ask you for help. That's pretty common within the church. We see that model even in Acts chapter 2, as everyone was sharing with one another so that no one in that first century church had need. The problem is if you're broke financially as well, you can't help me. We may make each other feel better about each other, but we can't help one another. But if one of us comes into money, it dramatically changes our situation. Now, all of a sudden, one of us could help the other. Forgiveness is the same. If you're taking notes, write this down. Forgiven people forgive people. Our Celebrate Recovery Ministry, they have a saying that is similar to this. It is that hurt people hurt people. We tend to reciprocate or regurgitate the pain that has been caused in our lives. We talked about this with family last week. If you grew up in an abusive home, you're going to always fight against the tendency to be abusive verbally or emotionally or physically. If you grew up in a home where there was yelling and screaming, there is always going to be kind of that bending towards going back to that when there is an argument. Why? Because when we're hurt, our natural response and reaction is typically not to do what God has called us to do, but it's to get back or to get even. As followers of Jesus, though, we've been called to reciprocate the good things. And so when Jesus loved us freely, he said, I want you to love others. When he showed us grace when we didn't deserve it, he said, I want you to show grace to others. And when he forgave us, the expectation is not that you would be like a can of gas, right? There's a difference in a can of gas and a funnel for gas. A can of gas just stores up liquid. It holds on to it. A funnel allows that liquid to go from where it is to something else. That is what the life of a Christian is supposed to be. That we would funnel God's goodness, His grace, and His kindness through us to others. And so if you have been forgiven by Jesus, this is where it starts. Because it's the foundation that will give you a greater capacity. If I understand the forgiveness of God, I have a greater capacity to show that to others. But I also have a greater responsibility. Write this down, Matthew chapter 6. It is the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus goes into what we call the model or the Lord's Prayer. We talked about it a couple of months ago. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know those verses. But in Matthew 6, as he progresses through that, he says these words. He says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. What is a trespass? It's sin. It's someone walking in an area that they don't belong. And over and over and over in your life and in mine, people have walked into areas where they do not belong. And Jesus said, my relationship with God will be directly impacted by my relationship with others. The forgiveness that I experience and understand and feel from God has a direct correlation to the way that I forgive. Watch this, not just others, but self. So let me dig in just a little bit more, help you understand the foundation, then we're going to jump into some scripture. I think one of the greatest struggles in the Christian faith is that as human beings, we are emotional people. I know that that's really difficult for anyone in this room to believe, but we are very emotional beings. We react based on what is going on around us, right? And so if I'm not careful, I will allow my emotions to build this kind of like figurative box that I expect God to live within. Let me help you understand like this. If I wake up in the morning and I'm in a good mood, my kids know that's the time to ask, right? If they see a grumpy face, right? I've got bad resting face, they know not the time to ask. Now, they don't always do what they know, but they have come to learn over the years, if dad's in a good mood, that's the time to ask. If he's in a bad mood, that's the time to run. The same thing is true when it comes to forgiveness. If I'm in a good mood, I am very likely to just let you off the hook. If I'm having a bad day, bless your heart, you're not going anywhere, right? We have to be careful because our emotions can dictate our faith life. That's a really dangerous place to be. Emotions are a good thing. We see it all throughout the book of Psalms. David uses emotions in the highs and the lows, but he always seems to point it back to Jesus. Emotions can be a dangerous thing when they're steering the ship, but when they're based in truth, it changes everything. And so if we are going to be forgivers, if I am specifically going to forgive myself, remember that forgiveness is not letting someone off the hook. It's recognizing that Jesus paid the price for it. There's a really big difference. There are a lot of times where I feel like if I forgive you, I'm letting it go. I'm letting you off the hook. No. I'm recognizing that you are created in the image of God, that Jesus has paid the price for that, and He's the one that can hold you accountable and not me. So if we are going to be faithful in every aspect spiritually in our lives, we have to start by recognizing truth over feelings or facts over feelings. So what I want to do this morning is I want to look at the facts. I want to look at what God's word says about forgiveness and His expectation from you and me. And if you are struggling today to feel unlovable, unforgivable, unredeemable, if you have received Christ into your life and you feel like He may not be there anymore, I want you to see the generosity, the grace, and the kindness of God and be reminded that God hadn't gone anywhere. He is faithful. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 9, I'm just going to read this one verse. What is the fact? It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First John doesn't say that your forgiveness is based on anything that you've done. Doesn't talk about being able to lose it. Doesn't talk about it slipping through the hands of God. It doesn't talk about your faithfulness or your ability. It just simply says, if you confess, God is faithful. Your forgiveness and redemption is not based on your ability, what you've done, or who you are. It is based on the faithfulness of God. And the faithfulness of God never changes. One of the things that I think you'll hear me say over the next few moments is, if God has forgiven you, you have no right to hold back from yourself. Are you better than him? The problem is we struggle with feelings. Well, man, I just keep going back to God for the same thing, and I keep struggling with the same thing. And at some point, surely he's got tired of hearing from me. Well, I would point you back to, you don't have to go there right now, but Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It says that the heart is deceitful above all things. I quote that verse almost every time I'm on this stage. I want to remind you over and over and over that the Bible says that your feelings and emotions will always lead you astray. We've got to base our faith in Christ on truth. And what truth says is that if we confess, God is faithful, nothing more and nothing less. So then the question, if you're struggling with this, needs to become this: has God forgiven me? If you're struggling today with something that's gone on in your past, you need to come back to this question: has God forgiven me? I wrote down you. You should write down the word me. Flip over to the left to Romans chapter 10 for just a minute, and let's see what scripture says about that. How do I know if God has washed the things that I've done that are ignorant in my life clean? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Paul says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. As we start connecting the dots through scripture, it begins with a belief that Jesus is exactly who the Bible says he is. He is the Son of God who emptied himself of the form of deity and was born in a manger, took on the form of humanity. He lived a perfect life for about 33 and a half years, and then he gave up his life on the cross. And then he defeated death 3 days later. And then he said, if you will believe in me and confess your sin to me, I will be faithful to forgive it. If you ever struggle wondering whether or not God can do a work in your life, God can get past the mistakes and the mud that you've created, go back to this question. Have I put my faith in Jesus Christ? That there are two types of people and only two types of people. People that haven't done that yet and people that have done that. If you've never done that, I would say to you, it's no wonder you're struggling with your past. Nobody's paid for it. The responsibility lies on your shoulders. If that's you, at some point in this service, there's a sticker on the seat right in front of you. There's a QR code on it. It'll take you to our website. You can fill out a really short form. I know that feels a little bit formal, but we also understand that not everybody wants to walk forward and go, hey, that's me. I never put my faith in Jesus. If you'll fill that out, somebody will reach out to you as soon as this afternoon. We'd love to walk with you, help you understand. In just a few minutes, we'll have prayer partners that are going to come up to the front. They'd love to pray with you. Maybe that's you, and you would say, hey, I'm struggling with things, and I'm beginning to recognize that maybe the reason I'm struggling it is because I am trying to carry it on my own, and it looks like it actually belongs to Jesus. We invite you to put your faith in him. It will radically change everything. But there's a second group of people that have put their faith in him, and yet the enemy seems to kick in the door a little bit with doubt. And for those of you that maybe as a child you received Christ, we talk about that a lot. Maybe as a student or an adult, whenever that is, you've got to find your way back to that moment and trust that what 1 John says is true. That God is faithful and he doesn't change and he doesn't fail. And over in the Gospels, Jesus said, he never loses one single one that he's pulled into his family. Watch this. So let God's word dictate your feelings. Let God's word be the driving force behind your emotions. Look with me just two chapters in front in Romans chapter 8. Because in Romans chapter 8, it talks again about the life of a follower of Jesus, one of his kids. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I go back to the moment that I placed my faith in Jesus Christ and I recognize my debt's been paid. And I don't have a right to hold on to what God has released me from and placed on the cross of Christ. In other words, and then I'll start moving on, you cannot outsin the grace of God. If you are struggling to believe today that God can or would want to forgive you, you are believing in a really small God that is not talked about in Scripture. It's very normal. Very normal to have these feelings, very normal to struggle with doubt and fear and to struggle with unforgiveness. That's a very normal thing. But just because it's normal doesn't mean it's okay. All throughout Scripture, God reminds us of his faithfulness and his goodness. Scripture doesn't say there's a little bit of condemnation, that it's okay to hold on to a little bit of that guilt. Now, it also doesn't say there's no consequence. There's consequence for sin. Death is the ultimate one. You do something wrong, you curse someone else, there is going to be a consequence for that. But the debt, the condemnation, was paid for at the cross. You would be foolish to doubt a God who has never once been wrong. You'd be foolish to base your life and spiritual journey on anything other than this word that has never been disproven, that has never contradicted itself, that no one has ever been able to go back and say that it wasn't historically accurate. We'd be foolish not to believe the thing that has consistently for thousands of years stood the test of time, proven itself to be true. In fact, I don't have time to get to all of these. You can bring those verses up on the screen. It may be easier for you to grab your phone and take a picture. But 2 Chronicles, Psalm 32, Psalm 103, Isaiah 1, Micah 7, John 3, Colossians 1, Romans 6, 2 Corinthians 5, over and over and over, what you will see if you look up these verses this week is that God is faithful to forgive and redeem his people. And it is based on his own goodness and nothing that you and I could accomplish on our own. Over and over. And what I would remind you of today is the more you understand the forgiveness of God, the greater capacity you have to be a forgiver of yourself and others as well. The more you rub shoulders with Jesus. Watch this. Not the more he rubs off on you, but the more he will begin to rub off on the people around you. This is a small snippet of verses that talk about the forgiveness and the faithfulness of God. If you are struggling today to get over something you have done in your past, you are believing in a very small God. I cannot convince you. I can't give you a 1, 2, 3 step of how to get over those. All I can do is present you the truth. The faithfulness of God will meet you where you are and cast your sin as far away as the east is from the west. And Scripture has said it over and over again. And once I've dealt with my own sin, my own past, and my own struggles, then I have the ability to work on others. So here's the next thing I want to approach, and this is the last one. How do I become a forgiver of others? Somebody has trespassed in my life. They have walked into an area that they didn't belong. And I am struggling. And I want to approach this with a lot of grace and a lot of tenderness because there are a lot of stories in this room. There are a lot of you that come from a really difficult circumstance. And to be a forgiver of others feels impossible to you. It's not always just the small stuff. Sometimes it is. But some of you are dealing with friction in your life and it is hurt you deeply. I would remind you what I've been saying this morning, this entire time. And that is that becoming a forgiver comes from a deep understanding of what God has done for you and me, saturating our lives with Scripture and understanding the heart of God. In Matthew chapter 10, you don't have to flip there right now, but I talked about these verses a couple of weeks ago. In Matthew 10, Jesus is sending out his disciples for kind of the very first time, commissioning them. He says, I'm going to give you the power to heal and to preach and to teach and to do all the things you've seen and heard from me. And as he sends them out, he begins to instruct, I don't want you to take any money. I don't want you to take extra clothes. I want you to trust that God will provide. It is this really big moment of faith because they have not been doing this very long. And in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, Jesus says these words. He says, freely you have received, freely give. I think that's the anthem of maybe every spiritual discipline in Christianity. Freely you've received it from God, freely give. Once we have received it, we have a responsibility to offer it to others. I wish I could give you a 1, 2, 3 bullet point of if you'll do these things today, this is how you get there. All I can really do is give you truth and trust that God is going to work and move in it. I would add like a caveat that this doesn't mean that you have to subject yourself for those of you that come out of an abusive situation. Nowhere in scripture does God tell his people to just be a walking doormat for people, to subject themselves to evil and sinful people. But it does say that we have to find a way in our hearts to forgive, because God did that for you and for me. I'm not going to share her whole story. When I was doing student ministry, though, I had my mom, she shared a testimony in a video about some things in her life that had happened. And it would have been wise to go back into the lives of other people and to talk to them one-on-one, like some of you probably need to do today with people in your lives. But as she was sharing, she said, I knew that I couldn't go back into a situation. And so what I did is I sat down with the Lord, and I prayed, and I wrote down a letter. And I wrote down all the things that had been done to me. And at the end of that letter, I said, I forgive you. I release you from this. She said, I prayed a prayer and I tore that thing up and I moved on. Sometimes that's what it looks like. God's not asking you to walk back into a situation that you might be hurt in. But he is reminding us throughout scripture that when we harbor unforgiveness, it does not just impact our relationship with that person. It impacts our relationship with Jesus. Scripture would even go as far as to say it hinders our prayers. Jesus said, if you find yourself at the altar and you remember something you have against your brother, leave the altar, leave my presence, and go make it right, and then come back. It's difficult. It's difficult to be a forgiver. Someone once said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting it to kill the other person. It'll impact your life. There have been a lot of nights that I've laid up and in frustration. I know that's really difficult to believe if you know me. Been frustrated with people, harbored some resentment, unforgiveness. Didn't want to let something go that had happened to me. Felt like I had the right to hold on to it because I had been wrong. And what I have learned the older I got is that the person on the other side of that scenario was very likely sleeping like a baby. There are a lot of times I've been frustrated with people and they had no idea that I was frustrated. Their heart rate wasn't up. Their health wasn't declining. Their anxiety levels weren't shooting through the roof. They didn't even know they offended me. And yet I held on to it like it was mine to hold on to. What does scripture say about it? Here's 4 verses that you can read, and this is a very small glimpse of them. In Matthew chapter 18, Peter asked Jesus, how many times? Peter must have had somebody, or maybe Peter was that somebody. How many times am I supposed to forgive this person? As many as 7 times? And Jesus goes on to say, no, not 7 times. Your version might not even say 77 times. It may say 70 times 7. Why? Because the number is not what's important. The context is. You see, the number 7 was the number of perfection in scripture. It represented God, fullness, completion. Peter was given the Sunday school answer. Do I forgive them this many times? Surely then I'm a good person. And Jesus said, no. It's infinitely more. Continue to go on. In Mark chapter 11, we're told to forgive others so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, we're told to forgive as God in Christ forgave you. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, we are told you must also forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Over and over and over, Scripture talks about God's faithfulness, and then it calls us to do the same. Here's what I would say. If everything that I see in Scripture is true, unforgiveness is disobedience. There's not a trick to it. The reality is God just says, do it as I've done for you. Unforgiveness in the life of a Christian is sin. Write this down. Unforgiveness is not mine to hold on to. Jesus, before he gave up his life on the cross, as he was actually hanging on the cross in Luke chapter 23, he looked out among the people because a large group of people would gather in Roman culture to watch crucifixions. We see Jesus a lot of times with a little cloth over his waistline. The reality is he would have been stripped completely naked in front of his family and his friends and his enemies. And as he bled on that cross, people came to scoff at him and laugh at him and challenge him to do something if he really is who he says he is. Jesus looked out at them in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. And he said this, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more he rubs off on you. And the more Jesus rubs off on you, the more he rubs off on the people around you. It's not mine to hold on to because he paid the price and released me from the consequence or the condemnation of my sin. I can imagine it, you put all the verses together in the Bible, Philippians talking about Jesus being in the very form of God, but emptying himself. And John 1 talking about him being the creator of all things. And Colossians 1 saying he was preeminent. He existed before time. Hanging on a cross in front of the people that he created. Knowing good and well that if he were to reveal who he truly was to them, the way that we see in the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, everyone would have fallen to their knees. But instead of showing his enemies who he was, instead of proving them all wrong and condemning them on the spot, he looked out at the people and he said, Father, we're going to forgive them. I love Luke 23 so much because I can't help but think that I was included in that prayer. That was my mess, that was my past. And he chose to forgive in a moment where none of us would have chosen forgiveness. He didn't curse back. He offered redemption. And then he calls you and me as we receive it to do the same. I'm going to say the same thing I've said 20 times already. There is no step-by-step process to help you become a better forgiver. You walk with Jesus. You believe his word, watch this, and then you just choose to obey it. Sometimes it's that simple. You just take the facts and then you make the decision. Am I going to do what God's told me to do? Or am I going to choose my own way? And that's a choice that we have today. Maybe in your life, there have been people that have trespassed against you. You've been holding back from them. Maybe in your own life, you keep going back to a moment where you didn't look like Jesus and you won't release yourself from that, even though God's word has said that he's already done it for you. I'd invite you this morning to consider what your response is to the demands of God's word. I'm going to ask Joel and the worship team to come. And then every week, what we do is we just kind of open up this front area as an opportunity to pray. And maybe that's something that you want to do. Maybe this morning you need to come and just you and Jesus, you need to release someone that you've been holding hostage in your mind. Maybe today you want to pray over someone else in your life. Maybe it has nothing to do with this morning. We believe in the power of prayer. I believe it changes circumstances. I believe it changes us. It's just our opportunity to respond. And so that's my invitation this morning. Maybe for you, you've never encountered the grace of Jesus like Romans chapter 10 talks about and believed in him. We'd love to share with you for a moment how you can do that, how you could join the family of God. and understand grace. Whatever it is that God may be stirring in your life, and maybe for you, you're trying to prevent him from stirring, but you know there's something going on, I'd invite you this morning to respond to that. Would you stand with us? I'm going to pray over us, and then we'll do exactly that. God, your word is abundantly clear. God, you ask us and command us to do really hard things. And Father, there is so much hurt in a room this size. And yet you can cut through it and you can show grace. Pray that you would convict and move and work in our lives today, that you would bring up things in our lives that don't look like you, and you would press us to respond to others as you have responded to us, to offer others the same grace that we expect and desire them to offer to us. And we would leave this place today and we would be more like you. God, if it's sending a text message or an email or having a phone call or setting up a lunch, or maybe just in a still, quiet moment, spending time with you, God, I pray you'd release us today from the things that hold on to us so that the enemy can't have a foothold in our lives, preventing us from thriving in the ways that you want us to. So would you speak and move and work? Would you hear our words? Would you change our lives? In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message, and we invite you to join us again next week. Remember to visit us online at fellowshipforney.org for more information about our church, service times, and location. Thanks again.